The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have a doctor who's coming in to talk to us about cancer awareness, and it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we'd like to welcome Dr. Marima to the studio via phone on Freedom 106.5 FM. How are you? Did I pronounce your name correctly again?
It's Mariama.
Mariama. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
So let's first start off with some of the most important, the most important thing that you can do when addressing this issue called cancer. Screenings. Now, recently I heard an interview talking about mammograms and the aversion that women have with mammograms because, our breast is tender. They don't want to be squished between two
and
plates.
And squeeze up. And it's cold.
Tell us a little bit. Is it that we have to do mammograms or are there other ways of getting tested for cancer?
Now, the definitive screening tool for years and years has indeed been the mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
But technology has moved on in that it's no longer where you really have to be squeezed and squished and, it's all uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is in the younger population, the women who have the more dense breast, I guess the more perky women, the younger women,
mm-hmm.
An ultrasound scan is also necessary to pick up changes that the mammogram will miss in the younger population who have denser breast tissue. So there are other ways and there are other modalities now of imaging that can pick up lumps. So it's not only the mammogram now because technology is moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So in the younger woman, you do your mammogram, but you may have to back that up with an ultrasound. And then you have things like your PET CT scan and all these other imaging modalities that their doctor can guide them if there's any question about the mammogram.
Now, once we get that result, what would be the next step?
Well, certainly I would anticipate that once you have a mammogram that is suspicious, you take it to your doctor or doctor who would have sent you to have the mammogram or the ultrasound scan done.
Mm.
So that the first step is don't sit with your result and worry and cry. Go immediately to your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor is then going to determine based on the results on the mammogram if you need to see a surgeon immediately, things like that.
Mm.
So please go immediately to your medical professional.
So it does not necessarily mean that you have to go directly to chemotherapy and radiation. It may just be a simple procedure of removing or even, which one, really and truly, when you're thinking about cancer, I think that things like surgery would be more major than chemotherapy and so on. But I find that it's just as intense. But
if it is that it's determined that this is in a very small localized lesion, you may be able to do something called a lumpectomy, mm-hmm. where the lump alone is removed and the breast can be preserved, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's more diffuse or we have more widespread, in those cases, it may be determined that you have to redo total breast removal. And then you will determine with your doctor if you have to do total breast removal on one side or both sides, whether you need to go to the lymph nodes under the arm, and then whether you need to follow that up with radiation or radiation and chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, the treatment must be individualized and targeted. So it's not like blanket treatment for everybody. So somebody may have cancer and it's determined that it's very early, very localized, no evidence of spread at all with genetic markers suggesting low risk. And that person may be able to get away with a lumpectomy as opposed to somebody else who has more advanced disease or more diffuse disease mm-hmm. that needs to have more aggressive treatment.
Now, within the development of awareness with cancer, the mm-hmm. trend of doing preventative care, mm-hmm. you know, with the removal, well, since we're talking breast cancer, there's been this yes. upsurge in removing the breast totally, seeing as you mm-hmm. may have family members that has the either the gene or has had cancer. So yes. can you talk about some of the preventative measures that are out there, and do we need to be that drastic as to get rid of the girls?
No, you know, I know there are people who, for if they've really had a positive family history, they've had some bad experiences, or they've tested positive for the BRCA gene, they move on to having the breast removal, and we know the famous case of Angelina Jolie mm-hmm. who did that. Mm-hmm. But still, breast cancer, I just want to get this across. In the majority of cases, once we have early detection, the outcomes for breast cancer treatment are excellent. So if it is, you know that you have your family history, you start your screening in your 20s, right? The starting screening, the recommendations getting younger and younger. So if you know your mother, your aunt, your granny, you start your screening all in your 20s and you do your yearly screening. In between that yearly screening, you continue with your breast examination, your self-examination. And once you catch something suspicious early, prognosis is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another tricky question. If you do find yourself with the gene for cancer, mm-hmm. is it a heavy predictor that you will get cancer? Are there persons who have the gene and never get it?
The prediction is that you are at risk, mm-hmm. meaning that you may, that if you put your risk against somebody who does not have the gene, you are at higher risk. But no, it does not at all mean that you will get breast cancer. It just means that you need to be a lot more vigilant mm-hmm. and you are at increased risk of getting it.
And what's the gene called again?
It's the BRCA1 gene, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And we do have testing for that here in Trinidad. It is available. Again, people have a conversation with your healthcare provider.
All right. And it is recommended, how often, if you do go through the mammogram, how often should you do that test?
Oh, that's a one-off test. Once you know that you have the gene, you don't have to repeat it,
mm-hmm.
right? But you certainly, your yearly mammograms plus or minus ultrasound scan is necessary.
And is that the only test that women should be doing? What about the tests? I know that this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but are there other mm-hmm. tests that we should be doing regularly to check and screen for other cancers?
Yes, certainly. So one thing I want to get across, other than screening for cancers, is that women and men should have a relationship with their doctor, whoever is their primary care provider, so that you know your body best. If you think that there is something out of the ordinary or odd, that you can immediately seek the care and direction in terms of what you should do. But certainly you have your breast screening. Women, we absolutely need to be doing our pap smears. Mm-hmm. We need to be checking ourselves for cervical cancer, which too can be very easily treated if caught early. So that is one thing we women need to be doing, and that is also quite available and free in health centers. You can walk into a health center and have your pap smear done. Another thing that we middle-aged women need to be doing, we need to be doing our colonoscopies, women and men. We need to be doing our colonoscopies, checking for any kind of, you know, rectal or colon cancer. Those are some of the things that we need to be doing. We need to be following up with our blood tests, looking out for things like anemia, unexplained anemia, or any abnormality in your just your routine complete blood count. Mm-hmm. And those are things that will tell you if something is going on. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the things that the routine things that we need to be doing regularly as women and men too. I want to make the point that men get breast cancer, so that men too need to be looking for those lumps and bumps in the breast area and in the testicular area. You need to be examining yourself there as well, looking for any abnormality, any hard lumps or bumps.
Mm. And now let's go to diet. I know as Trinis we don't like to be told what to eat, but probably probably we could venture there for a little bit. What to eat and what not to eat when you are being treated for cancer?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody is going to tell you, stay away from the sugar. Mm. Don't eat meat. Become vegan and all this kind of thing. There's really no scientifically proven evidence that these things, in fact, like, you know, sugar feeds the cancer and stuff like that. What you really need to do, if you're going through treatment, if you're going through chemotherapy, you really need to be on a diet that's going to give you nutrition from all the food groups. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we know that the chemotherapy causes things like that. So you need to be on your iron-rich foods. You need to be on foods with protein. You need to be on your vitamins, so your colorful vegetables, your green leafy vegetables. A lot of the chemotherapy and even the radiation, depending on what part of your body you're getting the radiation, can cause changes in bowel habits. So we need to make sure those stools remain soft but not diarrhea. So you want to have a little bit of good roughage. Mm. We want the complex carbs as well. So we're going to stay away from the oily things. We're going to stay away from the fried things. We're going to stay away from the simple carbs like the fries and the doubles. I know people will shoot me down.
The national food you're telling us not to eat? What? What
I am just concerned about the oil and all that flour soaking in oil. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about animal products in terms of milk, butter, those kinds of things? Can persons with cancer eat those things while going through treatment?
Certainly. I don't know if you know my history. I too am a cancer survivor, and I had no problem consuming milk and dairy, and it didn't affect my treatment in any way at all.
Okay. No, I didn't know that, but congratulations. Yeah. Surviving. Survivorship is good. What about exercise? Now, many persons would say that going through chemotherapy, going through radiation, it is very draining on the body. Do you see exercise and therapy playing a part to keep the strength up?
That is absolutely necessary. And it is necessary that you are fit going into the fight. The healthier you are in terms of your body, the more fit you are, sets you up to having less poor outcomes in terms of how your body handles the chemotherapy or the radiation or whatever, the immunotherapy, whatever you need to be on. And we know about the weakness, we know about the feeling drained, but you really still need to keep moving. Mm-hmm. There's usually loss of muscle mass. And the loss of muscle mass, not only from the treatment, but a lot of the loss of muscle mass comes from the patient being very sedentary or laying in bed. Mm-hmm. So even if it's just when I was going through my fight, the physiotherapist used to come and, you know, the pedals, and I just used to sit on the bed and very slowly pedal mm-hmm. on these little pedals that they put on the floor, or just raise my elbows and my shoulders. You know, nothing. I'm not saying that you would be going to the gym. You probably won't have the energy, or you may have the energy to do that. But anything you can do to keep the body moving will be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's just small movements like walking from your bed to the living room, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Just to keep moving.
keep the body moving, keep the blood circulating. Movement is going to help with the lungs. So, you know, you're going to do some just sitting on the bed and doing some inhaling. Remember, exercise as well releases endorphins, and that's going to help with the depression and the worry that we all go through with a diagnosis such as cancer.
So on the way to survivorship, what would you say would be the things that made a difference in your routine? If you can remember, if you can tell us.
Yeah, so the first thing is your mindset. Everybody, when they get a diagnosis of cancer, there is a certain amount of fear. There's a certain amount of whiny. There's a certain amount of depression that you're going to feel. And all of those are absolutely normal feelings. And you need to sit with those feelings a while, acknowledge those feelings. But the quicker you can move past that and hold on to hope and hold on to, if you're a person of faith, and be optimistic and, you know, as I say, get those endorphins moving, mindset is very important in terms of the fight. And you really don't want people around you who, you know, the people every time they see you, they're holding on to you and bawling. You really want to keep that energy at bay.
Because it kind of depressing me further, you know. Give me some good vibes.
So I think mindset, as much as possible, get out in nature. But, you know, expand your lungs, that kind of thing. And maintain a healthy diet. Take whatever supplements that your healthcare provider recommends. Stay on top of your treatment. There are a lot of people who, you know, get into the why me, why should I even bother, you know, and they give up. Don't do that. There's always somebody there to help you. At the Cancer Society, there's even the counseling service that is offered that you can make yourself contact the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, and they can put you onto a counselor who will help you. And just go through one day at a time. It might be a long road, but you break it up in one day at a time pieces, and that really helps me. It worked for me very well.
Any other tips you'd like to give our listeners as we're almost up on time to, you know, beat cancer, battle and beat cancer?
Even before diagnosis, become active, keep your body healthy, maintain a good nutritious diet, keep your weight within check, absolutely no smoking, no vaping, alcohol in moderation, as little as possible, and do your routine screening, men and women.
And also, any contact information for the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society or for you, so that persons can call and ask for information?
Certainly. With the Trinidad and Tobago Cancer Society, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and you can find our contact numbers there. We're ready available. If you want to talk to me, you can certainly get me through the Cancer Society.
All right. Thank you, Doctor, for joining us today. And
it was my pleasure.
Yeah, we will be, linking again next week.
Yes, certainly.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much. And to your listeners.
Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.